This morning, I want to just get right to the point of my lesson, because I don't want you to miss it or maybe get lost in one of my stories. So here it is. You were created for one purpose, and it's going to sound like two, but it's just one, and that purpose is to know God and to be known by God. That's it. That was the very singular purpose as to why you were created by God, is to know Him and be known by Him. You see, God wants to know us just as much as He wants us to know Him. And it's to be in this relationship with Him. That's the purpose that you've been created for. As one of my professors, Randy Harris, taught me, salvation is not the end. It's only a means to an end. The end is a relationship with God. It's a deep, intimate, interactive relationship with our God. 2 weeks ago, I received a phone call from a guy. He's married and he has kids. He has a good job. He's a law-abiding citizen in our community. And this whole virus thing has just got him thinking about God and about salvation. And so, evidently, he Googles God, salvation, church, something like that. And one of the links that comes up on his Google search is Southside Church of Christ. And so he clicks on Southside Church of Christ link and calls the church. And Pam, our church secretary, answers the phone. And she talks with him for a minute and then gives him my cell phone number. And this gentleman gives me a phone call. And he's on his way to work that afternoon. And so we have a very limited amount of time to talk on the phone. But we have this great conversation about Jesus. And we agree to follow up and to be in touch. He has my cell phone number, and I now have his cell phone number. And let's talk again soon. And so I text him about 2 weeks ago, and nothing in response. And then I text him, still nothing in response. And then this week, Thursday afternoon, I text him, and immediately I get a response. And he texts me, "Hello. I've been thinking about our conversation, but I'm busy. I will text you when I have time to talk about it." And man, I was really bummed, because already he's too busy to talk about Jesus. And this really gets at the heart of what Kevin challenged us with last week. We're too busy. We're too busy to do the very thing that we were created to do. Talk about Jesus. To know Him and be known by Him. To be in this deep relationship with God. Some of you are probably familiar with Francis Chan. He's a Christian author. And I watched a YouTube video of his this week. And he used this really great analogy to help us think about our current situation. He said, being born into our culture is like being born onto a treadmill. Everything's constantly moving. And we're always going from one event to the next. In fact, my generation has been called the tourist generation because we're always on the go. And we move at ridiculous speeds. Now, obviously, many have been affected adversely by this pandemic. There are many in our country and around the world who have lost loved ones, and my heart goes out to these people. If you're listening this morning to our live stream and you have tragically lost a loved one because of this virus, I want you to know that I'm so very sorry. And my heart and my prayers and my thoughts are with you this morning. However, for the rest of us, to use the words of Francis Chan, we've been given a very great gift. Think about this. If I were to ask you, how has this time been a gift to you? How would you answer that question? Now, my 16-year-old son, JP, has learned how to cut his own hair. And that's quite a gift. He uses mirrors, and he really does. It's pretty an amazing thing, and that's a gift that's going to keep giving to him the rest of his life, right, to be able to cut your own hair. But this gift that we've been given is bigger than that. And this is the gift. For the first time in our lives, every single treadmill has stopped. Or at least slowed down considerably. Life as we know it has stopped. There are no school events, no athletic practices, no church meetings, no family gatherings, no extracurricular activities that we're having to arrange all of our plans around. Whether we like it or not, want it or not, we've had to be still. Or at least we've had to live at a much slower pace. Last week, Kevin shared a great quote from Dallas Willard about the spiritual need to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives. And admittedly, if you had read that quote to me this time last year, I would have agreed with it, but not known how to go about doing it. Because where do I begin? And perhaps you would have felt the same way. And so the reason this time has been such a great gift is because hurry has been eliminated for us. And we've not had to do anything. What would have taken me superhuman effort and monk-like discipline just 2 months ago has been accomplished by a pandemic. Hurry has been eliminated. The treadmills have all stopped. At our home, we've eaten dinner together every night. We go on family walks several times a week. We hang around the fire pit. We have movie nights and game nights. We have devotionals. We have all these wonderful family times that we always wanted to do if only we had more time. If we just weren't so busy. And so it's been a great gift. In Psalm 46:10, God addresses Israel and says to them, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, it's important to note, this is not a suggestion. Instead, it's a rebuke. And I think there's a big difference between those two kinds of statements. This is not, "Settle down, sweetie." This is, "Be quiet." And perhaps some of you moms know the difference between those two statements. I was thinking about that as we sang that song so beautifully this morning. Be still. I mean, to make that sound more like a rebuke would change the way we sing that song, right? In fact, it resembles the command Jesus gives to the raging sea in Mark 4:39 that I had Gregory read for us earlier. Quiet. Be still. Matthew, in his account in Matthew 8, describes what was happening on the sea as a seismos megas in the Greek. And we're familiar with those words. It's a seismos. It's a seismic event of mega proportions. And it's so severe, verse 37 says that the waves were breaking over the boat, The boat was filling up fast with water. Luke, in his account in Luke chapter 8, says it very plainly. He writes, the disciples were in grave danger. And Jesus gets up and he rebukes the storm with, be quiet. And immediately the wind dies down and the waves were completely calm. And I love the reaction of the disciples because they ask the right question. Verse 41, they were terrified and they asked each other, who is this man? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Now, this pandemic has been a seismos megas, right? It's been a seismic event of mega proportions. No matter which chart you look at on the internet, it has left no one unaffected on the entire planet. And we have been forced to be still. And I just do not want us to miss out on the opportunity to ask the right question. The question that I want this morning to encourage us to be asking is not what's wrong with our country or why me or how long. Question I want to encourage us to ask during this time of forced stillness is the same question the disciples asked in the boat after the storm was stilled. Who is this man? You see, the disciples were so busy trying to navigate their way through life that they didn't even know who was on the boat with them. And I feel we do the same thing. We get so busy navigating our way through life that we don't even know who is on the journey with us. Be still and know that I am God. And this knowledge of God is not a trivial pursuit sort of knowledge. Oh, it's not the kind of knowledge that you'll get you a blue ribbon for a Bible bowl. It's a relational knowledge. To know someone in this way is to be part of an interactive. It's to know and to be known. It's to be part of an intimate, personal, deep relationship. Most people only know about God. And this call is not to just know about God. This is to really know him. Jesus says, abide in me, and I will abide in you. And abiding takes time. And normally, 2 months ago even, we're too busy to make the time to abide with God. So my encouragement to us is to receive this time as a gift and to not rush to get back onto the treadmill. You know, as things reopen and all the treadmills begin to start back up, don't rush to get back on the treadmill until you know God and the one that he sent, Jesus Christ. I was meeting yesterday morning with my FriendSpeak student, on Zoom, and we were talking about eternity. My friend's been thinking a lot about eternity, and so we opened up the Bible to John 17 and verse 3. We have this wonderful prayer in the garden of Jesus on the night he was betrayed and arrested. And in this prayer in verse 3, he says this about eternal life. He says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent." You see, eternal life, defined for us there by the Son of God, is a relationship with God and the one he sent, Jesus Christ. And here's what I want you to understand about what Jesus says about eternal life. He says this: the only thing in this life that will last on into eternity is a relationship with God. That's it. Your 401k will not last into eternity. Your degrees will not last into eternity. Your work will not last into eternity. Your home will not last into eternity. Your marriage will not last into eternity. This pandemic will come to an end because everything under the sun ends. That's how it works. Everything that exists in this world has a beginning and an end. It's the reality of existing in time. This virus had a beginning, and this virus will have an end. You had a beginning, and you will have an end. Everything that has a beginning has an end. This season of forced stillness, this season where all the treadmills have stopped, it too will end. My encouragement to us, my challenge to us today is to not get back on. Don't rush out the door to get back on if you don't know him. You were created for one purpose. That purpose is to know God and to be known by him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, my heart is that all people will come to know you. That those who have never known you will come to know you during this time. And for those who have just lived their lives knowing about you, that during this time they will truly come to really know you. And for those who know you but are just busy navigating their way through life, that they'll see this time as a gift to really grow in their relationship with you. Father, may we take to heart your words in this time of stillness to know that you are God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still.